Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. It is Easter Day, and I don't mean Easter Sunday, I mean Easter Wednesday. This week is all considered one day, as I frequently remind our viewers, because it shows the specialness of this celebration. It can't possibly be contained within a 24-hour period. In fact, it continues for a 50-day period, but this first week is called the Octave of Easter and literally observed as a day-long celebration. So the gospel passage today is the road to Emmaus, powerful, powerful reading of what happened the first Easter Sunday afternoon. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God and of his life-giving word. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we rejoice in the victory of life. It is a victory. You did not, Lord Jesus, simply conquer your own death. You conquered ours. You overturned the entire kingdom of death. And that is why, as we strive against all the evils in our lives, in our nation, in our world, as we battle against the culture of death, Lord God, we are not just working for victory, we are working from victory. Victory is our starting point because you have risen, you have conquered evil. May we be more convinced than ever of that victory and be more empowered than ever to live it in our lives and apply it to our world. We pray to you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, Cleopas by name, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, "The Lord truly has been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. It's beyond words, brothers and sisters, what we're celebrating here. Beyond words, just like happened later that night when Jesus appeared to those apostles in the upper room. We continue reading later in that chapter of Luke's gospel. He explained the scriptures to them. Jesus on Easter Sunday was opening up to the minds of his followers that all the scriptures referred to him. It wasn't that he was just showing which scriptures referred to him. He was helping them understand that the entire scripture was pointing to him. That everything that happened in history, all of salvation history, starting with creation itself, and the covenants with Abraham and Moses and everything that occurred, and all the prophecies, every line of scripture points to Christ. As the letter of the Hebrews says, in the past God spoke to our fathers in fragmentary and varied ways through the prophets. Now he has spoken to us through his Son. He's the perfect reflection of the Father. His death on the cross, the perfect reflection of the Father's love. His resurrection, the perfect reflection of the Father's life and his willingness to share that life with us. You know, this fact that he indeed is the one spoken about in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And that's what he says later on. Here about on the road to Emmaus, it says, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. And then later in the chapter, when he appears to them in the upper room, he says, everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled. You might remember in John chapter 5, there's a passage where he's arguing with the Jews and they say they're believers in Moses. And he said, you know, Moses wrote about me. But if you don't believe his words, how can you believe mine? But Moses wrote about me. Yes, believe him. And therefore, believe me. Now, wouldn't it be something to have a recording of the scripture lesson Jesus gave on the road to Emmaus or there in the upper room? And yet, it's not hard for us to conclude what scriptures he talked to them about. Starting with creation itself. In the beginning, God created. Well, the beginning is Christ. Paul expounds on that in his letter to the Colossians. But Christ is the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, through him all things were made. And so Jesus, on that Easter day, he was explaining those scriptures. He must have explained that this is the day, this is the first day of creation. This is now the new creation of humanity reconciled with God. The Sabbath day, the Sabbath rest. No doubt he would interpret for them the meaning of the scripture that God rested on the sixth day. It's not because God was tired. It's because God was pointing to the day when Christ would rest in the tomb. And then, of course, what other scriptures? So many. The Paschal Lamb. Not a bone of it will be broken. It will be slaughtered in the evening twilight. The blood will go on the doors and save you from death. This was all referring to the days that they were in right then and there. His death on the cross on Friday. The Paschal Lamb on the cross as the lambs were being slain for the Passover. All of this pointed to Christ. Not a bone was broken on the cross, but his side was pierced with the lance. Blood and water flowed out. The scriptures, so many of them, about water. The water coming from the rock as the Israelites went through the desert. The water that Ezekiel saw flowing from the side of the temple. All these things. The serpent in the desert. Remember when the people complained they were bitten by the seraph serpents, and God said, mount a serpent on a pole and all who look on it will be healed. So Jesus indeed is the fulfillment of that prophecy. The manna from heaven. He is the bread of life. He interpreted this scripture for them well before his death. He said, just as your fathers were given manna, so the one now who eats of me will live because of me. The Psalms, Psalm 16, even my body will abide in confidence because you will not let your faithful one undergo corruption. The faithful one is Jesus. He will not be allowed to decay in the tomb. He will rise. The prophets, how much more there is that Jesus would have been speaking to them on that Easter day. Lo, a virgin shall conceive and be with child, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Or the Psalm of the Passion, Psalm 22. Or the Isaiah servant songs. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was crushed for our offenses. By his stripes we are healed. And on this divine scripture lesson would go, all the way to Emmaus, and who knows how late into the night in that upper room. And he continues to open the scriptures to us today. Everything written before Christ was written about Christ. Now we have the fulfillment. And that's why we have to probe the word, learn the word, pray to God that we understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. He is risen. Life is victorious. Everything in Scripture is about life. Everything in Scripture is about the victory of life over death. Let's celebrate and rejoice on this Easter day. And let's draw new strength to apply that victory to every corner of our society and our laws, our votes, our policies, our service to born and unborn alike. Amen. Lord, we sum up all our prayers and praises because we intercede for one another. We intercede for those that have just been welcomed into the church by baptism and the other sacraments. We pray for those who do not yet believe in the resurrection. May they hear the good news and rejoice in it. And we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thanks, friends. Happy Easter. We'll talk to you soon.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.